Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum 38. Dogfest München. Hello and welcome to the 38th Dogfest Munich, wherever you listen or hear us. It's a great pleasure to welcome you. I'm Max Weigel, I'm part of the Dogfest team. And we've got a film in our program who is called Paradise. It's part of our section Dog International. And it's a production from France and Switzerland. And it will celebrate its German premiere at Dogfest. And it's a great pleasure now to welcome the director of the film, Alexander Abaturov, here, who will talk to me right now. Thank you for being here, Alexander.
Hi, Max. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your film, which is really an experience. It kind of develops through all senses. You like can really smell the fire in your film. You can hear it. You can see and feel the situation where the fire workers are in. I would probably start with a really simple question. Your film is about control zones in Russia. Can you tell me what a control zone is and when did the topic came into your mind that you want to make a film about this?
As you say, the film takes place in what they call the control zone. It's a kind of hypocritical legislative term developed in 2015 by the federal government, and it's actually it's quite opposite. It's a zone which are completely out of control. So how they described it, it's remote or not much populated territory in Russian Federation, where the local authorities have right to not engage into the operation against the wildfires if the costs of that operation higher than the consequences they calculated before it happened, of course. So the situation is whether the fire starts they do nothing. It's developed until the gigantic and when it's not possible to distinguish it. But as you say it pretty well, it's more. I try to do the film about the experience of the local people living this situation. So it's about it takes place in the control zone, but it's not much explained. The mechanism just give this information about the control zone, and the rest of time I try to spend with the inhabitants of this remote village and to share this experience that you live in, this unique experience when you're facing this gigantic wildfires, mental experience or physical experience.
So, as you said, you really get into the fire with the people there and with your camera team. So, the first question I had was, tell me about the experience, like going into that fire with the camera team. What were the circumstances for shooting there? What were your safety preparations for that? How was the experience in there? Because like you're really getting in touch with the fire, you're getting so close to it.
When we at the place while the shooting was going on, I think we just followed the people. And maybe it was kind of mistake to make confidence at this point because they have not much experience neither. So sometimes we were in like kind of tricky situations, maybe I could say. But actually now when the film is already done, it's all it looks so natural that they read the film team, cinematic film team in the place when the fire is going on, but it was not kind of the chance that we got there. There was 3 years of preparation before to get until this point, actually. And before it was done and we found the place, it was kind of main challenge was to get in the place when the wildfires is going on, and it's so unpredictable creature, and you never know when, where, and how it will go on. So we developed kind of method to calculate the larger zone which is striking by the drought and the heat, so it's the conditions where the wildfires will develop. And after that, we were kind of doing kind of zoom in on the territory to find our small village. And as I said, it was 3 years of preparation, and the project was mutating, during these 3 years. And all the beginning, it was all the different film, but at some point I wrote this log line, the small remote village attacked by the gigantic wildfires, and after that we need to find this place and be there at the time. And it was pretty challenging and stressful, of course, because there were four of us, me and DOP and the camera system and the sound guy, and we got all this cinema gear, and we got only one shot to do this. And it was kind of, challenging and lots of unknown. But after we found this Sholagon village and we met the people, I knew it was there, and we just picked the place and stayed there to do the film. It wasn't quite the question you asked, but it was mostly before the experience. And as I said, we just follow the people mainly, and they are not much in security measures, I guess. So it was quite an experience, but it was okay.
And it's really impressive that you get like that close to the people, not only like that you follow them, but like the camera is like physically super close, getting into their faces and really following them. So I was wondering, as you mentioned before, your film really follows those fires and the people. And of course, you get to know the topic of climate change and the topic of how the situation in Russia is, that the state doesn't do much about this. Why there was the decision to only follow them and let the audience make up their mind for themselves and not like interviewing the people there and getting political statements from them?
I like, I think the people, I like that people watching films stay active in their minds and interacting with the film and telling the story of the film by themselves, and not, it's not television reportage when everything is explained. It's so annoying. I don't like this kind of, I like the mysteries and, when I don't understand something in the film, I think it's the part I like the most in cinema. So I think at that point the film is just continue my own personal taste of the films, and it's also I think it's kind of respect to the people who watching the film, that they are pretty intelligent to tell their own story, I think I found it more interesting, that there is the elements about the context, about, as we talked about before, control zone, so an abandon of the Russian government, by the Russian government, those people, and of course the climate crisis situation is also present in the film, but I think it's enough, you know, just to take the context, and the rest of the film is for this step to give the place for the experience, as I said before, and to meet these people and live this, you know, weird and unique situation with them. And yeah, with Paul, the DOP, we was talking a lot, and you know, how to transmit with the camera this I mean, which language. So we found this pretty contrasted scales of the images, the very wide scale, with like the concept was the small human and the big nature, and the really close up frames to be in the intimacy and close to the people, and you know, live this moment with them.
So yeah, this is like, I think this is something really great, because you've got like those little tiny moments where you get to know into the feeling of living there, and also the consequences which you see like every minute in the film. I was thinking, like, when you like observing those people, and you did that before in different films, like in the military, and also like in a small town before the presidential election. Do you find in this film something was like representative for the Russian society itself and for the people, how they react to crisis when they have one?
Actually, when I doing the scouting session before, there was 2 years of scouting session, 2 summers I went to Siberia, and there was quite the same catastrophic situation. But I didn't go to the same part of Siberia, not in Yakutia, but more in the western part. And actually, I saw quite the same passive attitude toward the situation. Everybody was arguing, oh, it's horrible, it's catastrophic, but nobody didn't do nothing. But when I came in, it was in 20, I came to Yakutia for the first time, the place, for finally the Republic. We did the film the year after, in 21. For the first time I came to the small village, which is even more up to the north and even more remote and isolated and abandoned, and there I saw all these people, men, women, and teenagers. Everybody was participating to do something, you know, and with a bucket, trying to, you know, stop the huge wildfire in taiga, and it was so heroic and so beautiful. So finally, I saw this active attitude. Maybe it's madness, but we're still gonna try to do something. And actually, they succeeded. You know, they stopped the fire in 500 meters from their homes. So that's when I decided that this is the place I want to do this film, because the people are, you know, trying to do something and to fight for their homes and for their place they live in. For me, I try to do quite opposite from the first film, which is called Sleeping Souls, you know. So it's and the people, they are very passive, but of course the presence of the famous Russian government, you know, which is very known for their humanity, and it's quite the same. But when I look in backward, it wasn't the idea, but now you know, when I'm looking into the past, and it's quite of, you know, logical situation of the you know, the something from this this passive sleeping attitude from the population and the government that doing whatever they like and bring us toward the catastrophe with a scale of, you know, we cannot even feel or see or understand. So yeah, unfortunately, there is quite of evolution. I mean, in a negative way, of course, of this attitude of the government, and yeah.
So yeah, that's somehow the individual factor of this. What are, like, for you and your team, the consequences for shooting such a film in Russia, or how difficult is it in the beginning, and what happens afterwards, like when you did it and people see the film? Are there any consequences for you?
I live in France since 12 years for now, so I'm out of Russia for a long time. DOP, he's French, so he's out of the game completely. The sound guy, he's out of Russia for now after the war started. And the people of the village of Sholagon, they saw the film. I think they liked it. Somebody told that this was pretty and boring, but it's too slow. But I think some part of the population enjoyed it. But there is, I don't know, it's like kind of Russian way to critique the things, you know, you need to find it by yourself, what's going on. And there is this beautiful heroic attitude, so we like, you know, it's pretty Russian attitude in the cinema to show it this way. So I hope that even it will be shown in Russia and there will be no plot problems, even if I think it's pretty explicit that the reason why is that way. It's not only the climate crisis, but awful management of natural resources and this parasitic attitude of Moscow toward the Siberia.
I have to say, I don't find it too slowly. It's like really, especially the beginning and the ending has like those poetic way of getting into the story. Like it's winter and you don't see the fire at first, and at the ending they're like fishing, and we come back to the winter, and yeah, like those beginning pictures and those ending pictures, which really have those really steps those lines for the mid part of the film. Was that something you developed in your mind before, or was it something you found out in the cutting process?
The idea with winter came before the shooting, because I knew it will be new place, and there is a event to film. And I knew it's pretty hard to do really cinematic things in this kind of tempo, you know, when you come and discover and meet people, you don't know them, you have no bond with them. And so I decided that I will come later after the summer film session, come back in winter to present the place and present the characters, and to show the paradise actually in its paradise state, you know. And I found it's pretty funny to show the paradise in the winter situation. Normally we think about Siberian winter as something horrible, but actually it's so quiet and peaceful, and people like winter actually. So So it was kind of the idea to how to have more material, and so we came back to the village in November and did this winter session. And the final sequence with the fishing, this collective fishing, just during the summer, we was discussing with the local people, and Maria, the chief of the women's squad, she told me about this this traditional fishing, which is called Munha, and it was so beautiful how they described the situation with people screaming and running all together and making noise and the steps and so I felt that there is something something kind of link that which is possible with the film. And in the beginning, we see all these characters separately, actually, one by one. And in the end, they are all together. And it's kind of, you know, the simple message of the film is that, you know, you cannot fight the dragon by yourself all alone, but it's possible when we're all together. Mm-hmm. And this traditional fishing, it's not possible to do it this way, at least. All alone, you need to all the people moving together in the same as the same organism. So it was it was very, yeah, it was a pretty interesting experience also to do this film in the middle of nowhere, and
but that's a beautiful message somehow, like and it has those poetic layers, I think, which really makes the film like absolutely great. Maybe for the as an ending question, is there some new project which you're like working now, or do you have like in your mind ideas which you want to now get on the track?
It's too much in beginning. It's
okay.
I will keep it for now.
So
the secret. But thank you for this possibility to present the my new project. But with this war in Ukraine, I can't go in Russia. I don't want at least go to Russia, and so I need to find something different. So it will be elsewhere, and not in Siberia this time.
Thank you very much, Alexander, for your beautiful film. Thank you for being part of DocFest Munich.
Thank you, Max. Thank you for this discussion. Nice.
Thank you. And I want to mention for the end the Kino Kino Publikumspreis, which is sponsored by BR and Dreisat. And you can vote for this film. You find every information online at our website. Thank you very much.